Primarily not my own ideas. All right, but friends, let's see. Let's see. It's mamish a gevaldik sugya. And again, it's sprinkled in different svarim, but let's try to put it together. Together. We know the Gemara in Tanis tells us. I really want to begin with two questions. They seem to be unrelated, but we'll see how they have a lot to do with each other. The famous Gemara in Tanis tells us, Amar of Yehuda b'rei d'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, mishmei d'Rav. Kishem shemishenichlas av mematin b'simcha, kach mishenichlas adar marbin b'simcha. Okay, you've all heard this Gemara before. Just like the month of Av causes us to decrease our joy, we need to decrease our joy, so too when Adar arrives, marbin b'simcha. And that's true, by the way, for the entire month of Adar. Some say we're supposed to increase the joy each day of Adar, right? Each day there's a be marbin b'simcha, to constantly be lifting up that simcha. But the question that you already find asked by some of the earlier sources and developed certainly by later Svarim is, what is this kishem, right? Kishem, just as. Meaning, what's the connection? If I would have just said, Dani, when Adar arrives, increase your joy. You would have said, right, Adar, Purim, yeah, simcha. Why do I need the kishem? Just like in Av, we do less joy, so in Adar, we do more joy. Now, what does that mean? What's the kishem? What's the comparison? What's the relationship between Chodesh Av and Chodesh Adar that it requires this word kishem? This is the question that the Maisa Rokeach, Rav Elazar of Amsterdam, asked in source number 2. Yesh ledaktik, dehalashon kishem mashma shemedami osam la'adadi, right? Just as. The word kishem is making a comparison. It's medame osam, right? Dome. It's making them comparable to one another. Vaharei heim behifich zemize, and they're total opposites. So maybe that's the point, right? You want to pick the extreme of sadness of Chodesh Av, and the extreme of joy is Chodesh Adar. But kishem means there's more to it. Like, just as the same feeling I have in the sadness of Chodesh Av is the same feeling of joy that I'm trying to tap into in Chodesh Adar. And the question is, what do they have to do with each other? That was a question that Rav Elazar me'Amsterdam asked already in the early 17th century. The Vilna Gaon also asked the same question, and he gives us an answer. We're not going to pursue this mahalach per se, but the Vilna Gaon offers the following explanation. And again, it goes back to the point that I was just mentioning. Adar, the whole month is a joyous month. Chodesh Av, the month of Av is also, it's not just Tisha B'Av, which is sad, right? We have a whole process. We have 3 weeks, we have 9 days. Chaver, do you know that the halacha actually is, in theory, based on the Talmud Yerushalmi, that one could read the Megillah the entire month of Adar? You know what that's based on? It's based on a pasuk in the 9th parak of Esther. In source number 3, it says, Kayamim asher nachu behem hayehudim me'oyvehem, like the days that the Jews rested from their enemies, v'hachodesh asher ne'pach, and the month that was transformed, right? V'nehafachu. The whole month was transformed. Miyagon l'simcha, from sadness to joy, me'evel liyom tov, mamish, from a state of mourning and utter despair, to great celebration. Lasos osam yimei mishta, v'simcha, mishloach manos, mataros levyonim, chodesh asher ne'pach. The whole month is transformed. Says the Vilna Gaon, you know why that is? Let's try to make it real for a second in our heads. If you're a Jew, and you know Haman is coming to kill you, so obviously, as you get closer and closer to that date, it gets more and more intense. When you enter into the month that Haman has selected a particular date that you're going to die by, so that month itself already causes a panic attack, right? Meaning, if you're still in the month of Teves or Shvat, you're nervous because you know Haman has a plot against you. When Chodesh Adar arrives, that was the month Haman selected. I still have 2 weeks, right? But I'm much more nervous because now I'm on that page of the calendar, so to speak. So explains the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Megillas Esther. HaChodesh Asher Nepach. Why is the whole month transformed into joy? Because the month itself was very anxiety-filled. Perish Kasher Yoshin Bitzara. When a person is in a situation where they're nervous about something, they're anxious about something, that they said to themselves, oh no, Adar is the month that the Tzara is going to arrive. Heim Bitzara Gadol Yoser. So when that month actually arrives, the Jews are very nervous. Lachain, and therefore, when the victory takes place, when there's a Vina Hafachu, it's not just, the day that we won the war, the day that Haman was killed, the day that the Jewish people defended themselves, the whole month becomes transformed. All of the fear that we had throughout Chodesh Adar becomes joy throughout Chodesh Adar. And the Vilna Gaon says, maybe that's the pshat. Kishem, shekishenichlas av mematim besimcha, so too, mishenichlas adar marbim besimcha. Again, the same question that we saw in the Maisa Rokeach. The question is, heich shayich zebezeh. Why do I need the kishem? Just as we're sad in av, we're happy in adar. What's the kishem? What's the link? Avalafi mashakasavti osi shapir. But says the Vilna Gaon, based on what I just explained, it makes perfect sense. Because in the month of Av, the entire month, Shekol HaChodesh HaYabiyagon, the month of Av, again, the 9 days is a process. And obviously by Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, actually things start to get better. But the Vilna Gaon means that the experience of getting closer and closer to Tisha B'Av, right, gets more and more intense. First you have the 3 weeks, then you have the 9 days, then you have Shvua Shechalbo, the week that Tisha B'Av falls out in, and the halachos reflect that intensifying reality. So just like Chodesh Av is a process of feeling increased pain, so to other, kach ba'adar kol ha'chodesh nepach l'simcha. So to other, it's not just Purim, which is special, but the whole month of Adar became transformed for the better. Okay? But this is the question that is asked, and we're going to try to explore it deeper. Again, we have a little bit of an answer here, but this is the question. What is the comparison? What is the depth of the comparison between Chodesh Adar and Chodesh Av? Okay, that's question one. Chaver, I want to ask one more question. It seems to be totally unrelated, and we'll have to see how they actually connect in a deep way. And that is, one of the themes in the Megillah that is very interesting is this obsession with trying to hang other people. This obsession with trying to hang people, right? Vatomer lo zeresh ishto. When Haman's trying to figure out what to do with Mordechai, so Zeresh says, go build a gallows. Vayitlu as Mordechai alav. And Haman says, hey, that's a great idea. That's a really good idea. Vayitav hadavar lifnei Haman, vayas eitz. Hanging's a good idea. Why hanging? Why not, I don't know, why not stabbing with a sword? Why not shooting with a gun? Right? Why not, I don't know, there's a lot of ways to kill a person. What's with the hanging? And this hanging goes back and forth throughout the Megillah. Right? It's almost like a race. Who can get who to the gallows first? That's why, again, when things start to unwind and Haman gets himself into trouble, when Achashverosh finally gets angry at Haman after Esther reveals herself, and Charvona, which we know according to Chazal is Eliyahu HaNavi, disguised as Charvona, and he says, hey, Achashverosh, I have an idea. Haman built these gallows in his house. Vayomer Hamelech Talu Alav. Ooh, good idea. Go hang Haman. Vayitlu as Haman ala Eitz Asher Heichin leMordechai. And Haman was hanged from the Eitz that was prepared for Mordechai. The Gemara actually darshens the Gemara in Megillah on these words Asher Heichin leMordechai. The Gemara says Asher Heichin lo Heichin. For him it was prepared. Haman ended up creating his own death trap. But you see, there's this like Haman is desperate to hang Mordechai. In the end, Haman was really, ha ha ha, Hashem got the last laugh. Haman built the gallows for himself. And not only that, that even afterwards, when the Jews are continuing to fight in Perek Tes, and Esther says, please, give us one more day to continue the fight. And Achashverosh, can we have permission to hang the children of Haman from the gallows? Aseres b'nei Haman yitlu ala eitz. Right? And the Melech says, okay, do what you want. You can keep fighting. And if you really like hanging so much, so go hang Haman. Sure, hang Haman's children. Hang Haman, this obsession with hanging, what's it about? What is the inyan of hanging as opposed to killing in any other type of way? That's our second question. And we'll have to see what that has to do with anything. So, Chaver, let's go back to the first question. What is the relationship between Chodesh Av and Chodesh Adar? There's a very interesting halacha that I imagine none of us really do, although maybe in some small measure we think about it. And that is a halacha with regard to mourning the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, Chodesh Av, you think about the Beis HaMikdash. There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tav Kuf Samach, where it talks about making a Zecher L'Chorban, remembering that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, One of the rules is, very interesting, again, I don't know anyone who does this regularly, at least not in exactly this way, but again, I think you're supposed to. It sounds like you're supposed to. I don't know, maybe we have to start doing this. I don't know. V'chein hiskino, it was established, it was decreed, sha'oreach shulchan la'sos su'uda la'orchim, mechaser mimenu ma'at. When you're making a party, when you're inviting guests, when you're making a nice meal, you should make sure to what? To make something a little bit diminished to remind yourself, as much as I'm enjoying whatever I'm celebrating, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Umeniach makom panoi below ka'ara min ha-ka'aros haru'uyos l'teit sham. And leave like an empty space. Leave a spot, right? Sort of, you know, zecher l'chorban, right? Somehow acknowledge that void in your life of the lack of a Beis HaMikdash in your life. Right, to show somehow that even though I'm celebrating, I'm hosting a fancy meal, a suda la'orchim, I still remind myself that I don't have a Beis HaMikdash. The Taz, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, says that from the words of the Shulchan Aruch, when you make a suda la'orchim, right, where did he get this phrase, suda la'orchim? He got it from the Rambam. The Gemara doesn't mention specifically a suda la'orchim. The Gemara mentions just a suda. What's a suda la'orchim? So explains the Taz, Vinira de Harambam Rabusa Kamashmalan. The Rambam is adding something here that the Shulchan Aruch seems to be picking up on and following. Da afilu sudas mitzvah shayach dinze. When you make a sudas mitzvah, a wedding meal, you have to somehow acknowledge not just the breaking of the glass under the chuppah, which is also a zecher l'chorban, but you have to somehow leave an empty space. You have to somehow diminish your simcha in some way, whether it's a sudas bris mila, whether it's a chasana, yesh linhog kein. We have to show, even when we're celebrating a mitzvah, we do so in a slightly diminished fashion, because a Jew has to always live with what? With that pain and the sadness of no Beis HaMikdash, of lacking a Beis HaMikdash. However, there's one exception, and this is really unbelievable. Rav Yaakov Emdin, in the 1700s, Rav Yaakov Emdin wrote a sefer of halacha called Mor Uktziah. We mentioned it actually once last semester. And he writes at the end of Hilchos Purim an amazing thing. And we need to understand why this is. Nir Ali, he writes in source number 10, She'ein tzarech lizar besudas Purim lasos zecher la'avelis Yerushalayim. Wow. When it comes to your wedding, you should remind yourself there's no Beis HaMikdash. If there's no halavai, there'll be a Beis HaMikdash by the time some of you guys get married. Right? But when it comes to making a bris mila, a sudas bris mila, you should remind yourself there's no Beis HaMikdash. Bechevra, when it comes to Purim, you don't have to make a zecher la'avelis Yerushalayim. Kevan dechayev lebesumei bepuraya adelo yada. A person is able to indulge on Purim to a point called adelo yada. So therefore, he doesn't even have to remember that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. A chiddush by sudas Purim. What is that about? What is that about? And now we're starting to understand, kishem, just like mishenichnas av, we feel the uttermost pain of the chorban, of a lack of Beis HaMikdash, somehow Chodesh Adar, in some remarkable and secretive way, is somehow this very great tikkun for the chorban Beis HaMikdash. So much so that when I have my Purim Suda, I'm almost tasting Bayis Shlishi that I don't even need to remember that we don't have a Bayis Sheni. I'm able to indulge completely. I don't need to make a zecher la'avelis Yerushalayim. At your wedding, you need to. At the bris milah of your son, you need to. But when it comes to Purim, somehow Purim takes us beyond, above and beyond Chorban. What an amazing thing. Why is that? And how does that work? It's very interesting. You know, the Gemara is written in a very precise way. Even though the Gemara sometimes seems very scattered and all over the place, the Gemara actually is written in a very precise way. And every Gemara appears exactly where it needs to appear. There's a reason why certain Gemaras that seem to be tangential appear in the Masechta that they appear. One of the people who talks about this a lot is Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. Okay, Rav Dani, that's our Rebbe. Yeah, Rav Tzadok talks about that. Why do certain things appear in certain places in Shas? Like, why in Maseches Yoma, which talks about Yom Kippur, does the Gemara go off on a whole tangent about the Mun? What did the Mun look like? What did the Mun taste like? Why in Maseches Nedarim, all of a sudden, does it start talking about Avraham's bris mila? What does it have to do with anything? Maybe it has to do with a neder, Kedushas HaPeh and Kedushas HaBris. Maybe there's a connection there. Why in Maseches Megillah, who here has learned Maseches Megillah by a show of hands, at least the Mishnah or something? Yeah? What's the fourth parak of Maseches Megillah about, David Lifshitz? What happens in the fourth parak?
Is that where they tell the story?
No. In the fourth parak, what happens in the fourth parak? Parak B'nei Ha'ir. It talks about what? A lot of halachos regarding Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. If you sell this, you can buy that. Malam B'Kodesh, Vein Moridin, Kriyas HaTorah. It talks a lot about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses and also touches on Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. Why is the fourth parak of Maseches Megillah, which is, of course, Megillah, Purim, our victory over Amalek, why is that the parak, why is that the Masechta that talks about Beis HaKnesses, which is, of course, a Mikdash Ma'at of a Beis HaMikdash? Because, friends, Kishem, Shemishenechnas Av Matin B'Simcha, just like Chodesh Av is the loss of Beis HaMikdash, somehow Adar, Purim, is somehow the celebration of the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it's very appropriate that the Masechta that talks about what? That talks about Purim, and talks about defeating Amalek, is also going to talk about what? The halachos that are really built off of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. But again, somehow Purim has this ability to rise above the Avelos and the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash. We need to understand why that is. You can see, you have your hand up? I saw your hand go. Okay, good. So friends, there's a Rambam. The Rambam tells us a process of coming back to Eretz Yisrael, moving towards Bayis Shlishi, the process really of ushering in Mashiach. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim in source number 11. Shalosh mitzvos nitztavu Yisrael b'shas knisas l'aretz. There were three mitzvos the Jews were commanded upon entering into Eretz Yisrael. Number one, lemanos lahem melech, to appoint a king. Number two, lahachris zaro shel Amalek, to uproot every last trace of Amalek. And what comes after destroying Amalek? Says the Rambam, livnos beis habachira, to build a beis hamikdash. Somehow, defeating Amalek is so deeply connected to what? To binyan beis hamikdash. And again, we need to understand why that is. It's this kashem shemishenichnas av, kach mishenichnas adar. The name of the Yom Tov, of course, is Purim. And a lot of Svarim are curious why that is. Why should the Yom Tov be called Purim? After all, Purim means lotteries. First of all, how many lotteries were there? Well, it could be that Haman cast a series of lots. That's why it's called Purim. But the Bnei Yisachar and many other Sfarim ask, I don't understand. Why is Pesach called Pesach? Pesach means that Hashem jumped over our houses. He spared our lives. And that's something to celebrate. Sukkot. Hashem provided us with a sukkah. Whether it's a physical hut that Hashem protected us in, or Ananei HaKavod. Sukkot represents the celebration. Right? It represents Chanukah, Chanu b'chafei, or whatever other explanation you want to use for Chanukah. Purim, lotteries? The lotteries were the thing that almost got us killed. Why would we name the Yom Tov for the thing that almost got us killed? It's as if the poor contains within it the secret of the Yom Tov. So, however, what actually happened? Let's review. Let's get a clarity on this, because a lot of people are confused about what exactly happened. How did Haman go about casting his lots? So let's read the Medrash together. Okay? Haman's trying to figure out, how am I going to defeat the Jewish people? They have so much protection from Hashem. Haman says to himself, I want to destroy them, I'm not sure how, I'm not sure when. Heich ani sholeit bahen, in source number 12. How am I going to rule over them? Hareini mapil goralos. I have an idea. I'll make a lottery. I'll drag the Jews into that world of chance, right? That's a way of sort of ignoring the fact that Hashem runs the world. So I enter into a lottery where everything seems random. Of course, a lottery is not random at all. Even a lottery is controlled by Hashem. There's actually a tshuva from the Gaonim that use an expression that a person who's cholek on a goral, a person who questions a lottery, is like a person who questions the Aseres HaDibros. Okay? So this week's parsha, not a small thing. Again, there's a hashkacha pratis that governs all. But Haman thought, I'm going to go into the world of chance, into the world of randomness, and to try to defeat the Jewish people. So Haman began to have his lottery. And he picks out a day. He lands on a particular day of the week. He's trying to figure out what day of the month. He's trying to figure it all out. Then he decides, I need to pick a month. Now that I picked the day of the week, I need to pick a month. Chazer l'chadashim, says the Medrash, he started going through the months. Now look at this. He goes through the months. Hischil b'chodesh Nisan. He thought to himself, what about Nisan? Nah, Nisan's no good. Now, is this a lottery? I mean, he sounds like he's just thinking about it. Right? In the end, he cast the lottery and it landed this way. But first he's thinking, where would I want the lottery to land? Nisan, that's not a good month to destroy the Jews. They have this chos of Pesach. Iyar, Pesach Sheni. That's not good. Sivan, that's when they got the Torah. Tammuz is the chos of entering Eretz Yisrael. Elul, that's when they built the wall of Yerushalayim. Right? Tishrei, they have Shofar, they have Yom Kippur. That's not going to work. Mar Cheshvan, nah, that's when Sara Imenu died. Kislev, they have the chos of Chanukah, which is fascinating because Chanukah comes after Purim. So the Hon was thinking, chos Chanukah, I have to figure out what that medrash is about. Teves, no, Teves, Ezra Sofer died. That's the chos for them. Shvat, Anshik Nesagadol, he couldn't figure it out. He says, you know what? Adar. What about Adar? Adar, the last month of the calendar year, starting from Nisan. It's the farthest away from Nisan. It's an end. It's an end. Ends are usually, you know, not as good as beginnings, as Rosh. And he starts thinking to himself, Adar. Adar's a good idea. Allah Rosh Chodesh Adar, v'lo matzu bo shum schus. Right? The lottery landed on Adar, or he thought to himself Adar, and he said, Adar's very good. Adar, the Jews don't have any merit in Adar. And he was very happy. So then he said, wait, hold on, I got to check something else. Every month has a mazel, has an astrological sign. I need to think about the astrological sign for Adar, or for all the months for that matter. So he started going through them. Nisan is the Tleh, is the little sheep, you know, that's like the Karban Pesach. Iyar, the astrological sign, is an ox. An ox, Yosef is compared to an ox. Sivan, like we learned yesterday, is Gemini, is twins. No, that's thing reminds me of the twins that came from Yehuda, right? Peretz and Zarach. Those are twins that have messianic roots. I can't do that. He comes to Adar. And Chever, what is the mazel for Adar? Who knows? The mazel for Adar is Dogim, is fish. Shehu Meshamesh B'chodesh Adar. Pisces, right? Dogim. For those who know the horoscope, the astrological signs. He says to himself, fish? I don't know. Fish? Anything special about fish? V'lo nimtzalo z'chus. He couldn't find anything special about fish. V'samach ma'od. And he was so happy. So he decided, Adar is my month. V'amar Adar ein lo z'chus. U'mazlo ein lo z'chus. Adar doesn't have any merit. And not only that, the mazel, fish, doesn't mean anything special to me. And not only that, Moshe Rabbeinu died in Adar. Right? So this is going to be the month that I'm able to destroy the Jews. Va'amar, kishem shadogim bolin, kach ani boleo son. And just as the big fish swallows the little fish, I'm going to swallow up the Jews. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rasha, you fool. Dogim pa'amim nivlo'in upamim bolin. Sometimes fish swallow and sometimes they are swallowed. Va'achshav oso ha'rasha nivla min ha'boilin. But you're going to be the one, Haman, who gets swallowed up by the Jewish people. Somehow, Haman saw in this mazel of fish, in this month of Adar, he thought it's the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low, the one without merit or any zchus whatsoever. And we call the holy Yom Tov Purim. The name of the Yom Tov is Purim. So, Chaver, so what's going on here? We need to understand, what is the secret of the fish? Why is the fish actually such a simen tov for Klal Yisrael? Why is Chodesh Adar the opposite of Chodesh Av? How is it the defeat of Amalek leading to Binyan Beis HaBachira, building Beis HaMikdash? Again, like the Rambam describes, we've got a lot of work to figure out. Okay, hang on to the questions for now. I want to work through this year first, and then we'll take your comments. So, Chaver, we need to understand one other point about the Beis HaMikdash. And that is, if I were to ask you for a synonym for the Beis HaMikdash, another word that could somehow capture what the Beis HaMikdash is to Klal Yisrael. Maybe a totally unrelated word, right? Not calling it a Mikdash or a Mishkan. Another word that somehow in Tanakh is used to express what the Beis HaMikdash is to Klal Yisrael, we find it in Parshas Vayigash. And the answer to that question is the neck. The neck is the Beis HaMikdash. Why is the neck the Beis HaMikdash? We know that when Yosef and Binyamin get together, Vayipol al tzavarei Binyamin achiv vayevch, uBinyamin bocha al tzavarav. Interesting. The Torah makes a point to say that when Yosef and Binyamin are reconnecting, are reuniting, so they're crying on each other's necks. Why are they crying on each other's necks? I mean, I guess when two people are, you know, hugging, embracing, and they're crying on, but it's an interesting expression, crying on someone's neck. So Rashi explains, maybe you remember Rashi. Vayipol al tzavarei binyamin achiv vayev. He fell on Binyamin's necks, plural, and cried. The necks correspond to the shnei mikdashos. It refers to the two batei mikdash, which are going to be built in the portion of Binyamin, and eventually they're going to be destroyed. Yosef crying on Binyamin's necks means that he's crying over Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. A Beis HaMikdash is compared to the neck. And Binyamin is crying on Yosef's neck. Why? Because in Yosef's territory is going to be also something like a Mikdash, the Mishkan. When the Mishkan stood in Shiloh, which is the territory of Yosef, of the Bnei Yosef, which is also going to eventually be destroyed. So Binyamin was also crying. So Rashi reveals to us a secret. That neck is somehow a code word, is a secret code word for Beis HaMikdash. We find it in several places in Shir HaShirim as well. In Shir HaShirim it says, in describing the beauty of the two lovers, K'migdal David Savarech, like the tower of David is your neck, right? A strong neck, a tall neck. Rashi explains, right, describing the beauty. Right? A woman who has a long neck is seen as a sign of beauty, says Rashi. Kamigdal David Savarech, Koma Zakufa Noi Beisha. A tall woman is a sign of beauty for a woman. Vahadugma Kamigdal David. Right? Like the Tower of David, Humitsudas Sion, Shumakum Choizak Vaofel Umivtsar, a place of strength, a fortified place. Kahu Tsavarech Zolishcha Sagazis. Obviously, the mashal is describing one person, describing the beauty of another human being. But in the nimshal of Shir HaShirim, it's describing what? What is this neck describing? In the metaphor, it's describing the lishchas hagazas in the Beis HaMikdash. The place where the Sanhedrin sat in the Beis HaMikdash. The place from where Torah emanated. The place of the Beis HaMikdash, which provided what? Chazkan u'mivtzaran shel Yisrael, strength and protection for the Jewish people. So the Beis HaMikdash, or parts of the Beis HaMikdash, are compared to the neck. Again, in Shir HaShirim Perek Zayin, Tzavarech Kamigdal HaShein. Your neck is like a tower of... Shein? Anyone? A tower of tooth?
Ivory.
Very good. Your neck is like a tower of ivory. Right? What does that mean? Your neck is like a tower of ivory. Tzavarech, Rashi says, HaHechal, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, they're tall, they're powerful. Lishchas Hagazis, the Beis HaMikdash is compared to the neck. However, why is the Beis HaMikdash compared to the neck? Why is the Beis HaMikdash? We have Rashi and Vayigash. We have two Psukim and Rashis and Shir HaShirim. What is the connection between the Beis HaMikdash and the neck? And now we come to the final section of our Shir. The Shem Yishmuel, the Rebbe of Sokachov, or Shmuel Bornstein. He explains in his writings on Parshas Vayigash, he quotes the Rashi we just learned. And he said, we know that the Beis HaMikdash is Nikrat Savar. The Beis HaMikdash is compared to the neck. Why? He quotes the Psukim in Shir HaShirim that we just referenced. What is the connection? Why is a Beis HaMikdash like the neck? And this is going to unlock the whole Shir for us. V'atam Shenikra Beis HaMikdash Savar. The reason the Beis HaMikdash is compared to the neck, I heard from my holy father, he says, I heard from my father, the Avnei Nezer, ki kamo sha'atzavar hu memutza ben ha'rosh v'haguf. Just like the neck serves as the connector, right, the bridge between the top of the body, the head, and the guf. Again, bear in mind, like we hinted to yesterday already, Esav's head was in Maris HaMachpelah, but not his body. Let's start to understand, let's start to think about a Amalek, head versus body, and connecting head and body, just like the tzavar, right, is what? Is again that bridge between the neck and the body. What is the Beis HaMikdash, Chevra? The Beis HaMikdash serves as that bridge uniting us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is that bridge that links us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It unites the world. It's that point where heaven and earth kiss. It's the meeting point of the world. It's actually the spot, the Kodesh Kadoshim, is actually the spot where HaKadosh Baruch Hu began creation. It's where Hashem began to make the world. It's the place where heaven and earth meet up. That's the idea of the neck. That's why the Beis HaMikdash is compared to the neck. Okay? So now let's understand. Says the Chasam Sofer in Parshas Vayigash, now that we know that the neck corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash, and we've seen the Psukim, so what exactly does that mean? Right? What does that mean? What does it mean to have a strong neck? What is being described in Shir HaShirim? Tzavarech Kamigdal HaShein. What does it mean when your neck is strong? Writes the Chasam Sofer al HaTorah in Parshas Vayigash in source number 20. Ha'inyan bezeh, ki Beis HaMikdash nikra tzavar. As we just explained, the Beis HaMikdash is compared to a neck, as we saw in Shir HaShirim. V'hu ki eino mishamish ela katzavar hazeh, shu rak shvil viderech mirosh lelev. The neck serves as a way of uniting the head and the heart, of connecting the top part and the lower part. Tachtonim and elyonim, elyonim and tachtonim. To be able to put food in your mouth and to bring it down even into your body. To take a thought from your mind, right, or a feeling from your kishkas, and to be able to express it with your mouth. There's this highway, right, that serves as that bridge, as that connector between the upper part of you and the lower part of you. V'chein Beis HaMikdash Shar HaShamayim. The Beis HaMikdash serves as, again, that bridge to the heavens. Lahamtzi Shefa Meharosh Avinu Shabbat Shamayim Yisbarach Shemo Yisrael Amo. To send down from the upper realms, from Hashem above to us below, the Beis HaMikdash serves as that conduit, that channel by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings all the Shefa, all of the Bracha, everything we need in this world flows through the Beis HaMikdash. Ulahosif Koach Mimata Lamala. But it goes the other direction as well. That when we come to the Beis HaMikdash, we bring karbanos, and we daven, and it's a place of Lishchas HaGazis of Torah, we also give strength to Hashem. So the Beis HaMikdash serves as that bridge between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But however, the Beis HaMikdash, in many ways, is really a bidiyeved. Why is the Beis HaMikdash a bidiyeved? Why is the Beis HaMikdash a bidiyeved? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first spoke about the concept of having a place of Hashras HaShchina, V'asu li mikdash v'shechsocham. Where does Hashem really want to dwell? And the answer is in our hearts, inside of us. Hashem doesn't want us to have a place of Hashchina. Hashem wants every one of us to be a person of Hashras HaShchina. One of the great tragedies of history is that we weren't able to have Hashem with us anymore. We had to put Hashem into that building. At Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where Hashem was on us. Hashem was descending upon us. And when we lost that, we had to move it over to the Mishkan. The Svarno writes in Parshmini, which describes the celebration of the inauguration of the Mishkan, and of course the tragic death of Aaron's two sons. But the Svarno describes when the Torah all of a sudden starts telling us about what you're allowed to eat, what you're not allowed to eat. Why is it talking about that? Chasam Sofer just told us, I put food in my mouth, and my neck brings it down to my stomach. Interesting. When the Torah talks about establishing the Mishkan, it talks about what you can eat and what you can't eat. Says the Svarno, in his commentary on Chumash, in Parshas Shmini, Svarno lived in the 1500s, Hine achar shis natzlu Yisrael es edyam haruchani shekanu b'matan Torah. The Gemara tells us, Chever, that at Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us edyam, gave us jewelry, beautiful crowns, and unfortunately we lost those crowns. How do we lose the crowns? Chete Egel. So when we lost that spiritual connection that we had acquired at Matan Torah, Asher bo hayu ru'uyim lishros shchina aleihem bilti emtza'i. It was supposed to be hashras hashchina without any emtza'i, with nothing in the middle, with nothing separating. It was supposed to be direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the pasuk says, "Bechol makom asher azkir hashemi, avoy lecho ve'achticha." Wherever you mention my name, we get together, we connect. Kamosha yeah, inyan la'asid lavo. And friends, that's how we want it to be in the future. When we think about bayis shlishi, when we think about the third Beis HaMikdash, many of us think of it in terms of a third building, a third Beis HaMikdash. But the truth is, and it's hard to explain because, again, there's a lot of reason to believe it will be a building. But it's going to offer us some type of direct connection more so than the other Beis HaMikdash. Right? The Beis HaMikdash serves as a bridge. It's a neck between Shemayim and Aretz. The original goal is that there is no bridge. There is no connection. There's nothing that serves as that you know, that channel by which we connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's just direct connection to Hashem. That's how we want it to be in the future. V'nasati mishkani b'sochachem. Like the Pasuk says at the end of Chumash Vayikra. Right? That I'll place my Mishkan amongst you means within you. But unfortunately, when the Jewish people made the Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm done with you, I'm leaving, and Moshe had to negotiate. And after Moshe negotiated, says the Sfarno, he was able to achieve Eza Tikkun, a partial Tikkun. Not that Hashem would place a Shechina on us, but at least he would make a Mishkan. Shetishra Shechina b'socham, be'emtzos Mishkan, v'keilav u'misharsav u'zvachav. At least we could meet up somewhere in the middle. Hashem says, at our Sinai, I offered you the possibility of what? Of Hashras HaShechina on you. You rejected that with Cheda Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu negotiated, and we got a bias for Hashem, a place, which is great. A neck, a meeting place, an Ohel Moed, a connection, a place where we get together. But friends, that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal, continues the Chassam Sofer in the next source, is that what? Like the Svarno is describing. We want it to be without any intermediary. Nothing separating us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Chassam Sofer, Amnam ein ze hatov ha'acharon ha'makuva. This is not the greatest desire. This is not what we want. We want much more than that. We want that Hashem should be shochein b'kirbeinu. We want Hashem to dwell inside of us. Again, that intimacy we were describing yesterday, the zivug. Right, the intimate relationship between man and creator, which is what the Mishkan represents, right? Even more so than the Beis HaMikdash, but even more than a Mishkan, which is still a building. We want to be what? Mamish with Hashem, without any separation whatsoever. To be connected, b'li emtza'i, via rosh mechubar el haguf, b'li emtza'os hatzavar klal. To be connected what? To be connected like a head to a body without even a neck. And that's why Yosef and Binyamin are crying on each other's necks. Friends, Yaakov and Esav represents our fight for Mashiach. Right? Esav is the world from which Amalek comes. Esav is the world which Haman comes from. Yaakov Avinu is the world from which we all come from. It's the world of Torah. It's the world of mitzvot. It's the world of Mashiach. It's the world of Mordechai and Esther. When Esav gets his bracha, after Yaakov first takes the brachos. And there's a lot of Purim there. There's tons of Purim there. That's why Yaakov is dressed up in a costume. When Yaakov gets the brachos, and then Esav comes in and he's crying. He says, it's not fair. I want a bracha also. And his father gives him a bracha. What is the bracha that he gives him? Esav gets the bracha in Parshas Toldos. Al charbacha tichya. You'll live by your sword. Ve'esachicha ta'avod. And you'll be subservient to your brother, to Yaakov. Vahaya ka'asher tarid, but it'll be when you are, tarid in this context means what? In a state of tsar, when you are aggrieved, ufarakta ulo me'al tzavarecha. You'll be able to lift the yoke of Yaakov off of your neck. Esav, you'll be able to what? To free your neck from your brother Yaakov. What does that mean, kasher tarid, when you're aggrieved? Rashi explains in Parshas Toldos, when we stop doing mitzvos, then Esav can get the upper hand over us. When we live a life of Torah and mitzvos, right? So we keep our hand, so to speak, on Esav's neck. But when Esav becomes empowered, so to speak, he takes our hand off of his neck. What is going on? What's with his neck again? Explains the Chassam Sofer, and Chevri, here's the punchline. Explains the Chassam Sofer, this time in the Torah Moshe and Parshas Toldos. Ready for this? It's unbelievable. Let's put together all the pieces now. Says the Chassam Sofer, Uferakta ulo me'al tzavarecha. We'll remove his hand from upon your neck. Remove the yoke from upon your neck. Kvar ksavti v'makom acher, I've explained elsewhere in my writings. Shebeis hamikdash nikra tzavar. The Beis Hamikdash is compared to the neck. And the reason the Beis Hamikdash is compared to the neck is because just like the neck is the shvil between the guf and the rosh, the Beis HaMikdash, is the place where our tefillos, where our karbanos, where everything goes up. Amnam la'asid lavo, The hope of the future is that we can be connected to Hashem without a neck, without even a neck. And says the Chassam Sofer, there are two creatures that don't have necks. There are two creatures that don't even have a neck. Says the Chassam Sofer, look at this. You see it, Chavra? I'll make it a little bigger so you can see it clearly. We want to be with Hashem like a fish. A fish doesn't really have a neck. She'ein lo tzavar, ela guf mechubar barosh. That's the connection that we want to have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about the world of Esav? Esav, Amalek, Edom, which is the fourth and final gullus that we're in right now. Esav is compared to what? To a chazir, to a pig. A pig also, says the Chassam Sofer, doesn't have a neck. She'ein lo tzavar. Umechubar berosh pasanim achzar. It's a pasuk at the end of the Chumash. Ach kishuhu mishubetachas Yisrael. So when we have the upper hand over Esav, the bracha that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov Avinu is that we control Esav's neck. In other words, we keep Esav, we keep the chazir, the pig, from expressing itself fully. But if we don't become the type of Jews that we're supposed to be, when we go into a state of galus, then the chazir rises up. And so to speak, what? The pig without the neck removes our neck, removes our Beis HaMikdash. But Chavra, here's the irony of the whole thing. And now we come back to our second question. Our second question was, why is it that throughout the Megillah, it's a race to the gallows? Who is going to strangle the other one first? Who is going to what? Who is going to control the other one's neck? And the answer is, now we understand. Because the neck represents, again, that point of connection. Esav wants to hang Mordechai, Mordechai being the representation of Klal Yisrael. He wants to destroy the Gadol Hador. He wants to what? He wants to kill him by his neck. That's his way of saying, I want to get rid of the Beis HaMikdash once and for all. The irony of the whole thing is that what? We also don't want to have a neck. We don't really want to have a neck. We want to be directly connected to Hashem without a neck. We want Hashras HaShechina without a Beis HaMikdash. And of course, Esav, right? Esav being sent to the Haman being sent to the gallows. Haman being sent to the gallows is exactly that victory, right? Haman, we're going to remove your neck, so to speak, as a way of saying we're going to also, the idea of removing the neck in a positive sense. So the whole month of Adar, which is the month of fish, is somehow what? Is somehow experiencing something very messianic, something very futuristic. Something that allows us to what? Like the Morik Tzia told us way back at the beginning of our shir, to be able to have a Purim Suda, and to not have to think about Avelos Yerushalayim. Adelo Yada. I don't need to acknowledge the Chorban. Kishem, just like Chodesh Av is the loss of Beis HaMikdash, so too other is the celebration of Beis HaMikdash, but not just by a Shlishi. Better than by a Shlishi. It's the restoration of that ultimate desire of what? Like we said yesterday, Aleph Dar. That Aleph, the one above, should be Dar, should dwell with me. That I should live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's drawing on something of the future. And friends, that's why we find in the Medrash, in the second to last source, the Medrash tells us an amazing thing about Purim. The Medrash says, Shekol ha-mo'odim asidin li-batel, v'yamei Purim einam b'teilim la'olam. All of the holidays are going to eventually be batel when Mashiach comes, but Purim is forever. Why is Purim forever? Because the whole idea of Purim, what we're learning today, is that Purim is that world of Vayesh Lishi. Purim is that world of ultimate connection to Hashem. Purim takes from the future. Purim is a holiday of the future. So therefore, when Mashiach comes, it's not going to negate Purim. It's going to be the fullest realization of everything Purim represents. And therefore, while the other holidays may no longer have that same place amongst our calendar year, Purim is forever. Because Purim is a taste of the future. Last but not least, in the final source, the Medrash tells us that in fact, the gallows that Haman created, the gallows that Haman built, where did it even come from? And that's part of the Vina Hafachu that we celebrate so strongly. Again, so many ironies, right? So many funny, ironic types of, you know, moments throughout Megillas Esther, which is such a Vina Hafachu, right? Where the thing that looked like it was the worst for the Jews became the source of inspiration and salvation for Klal Yisrael. Says the Medrash in Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer in the final source, when Haman has angered Achashverosh, miyad tziva hamelech litzloso. Ba'oso shah, ma'osa Eliyahu zachor letov. Eliyahu hanavi comes, and he disguises himself as Chorvona, one of the officers of the king, and he says to Achashverosh, Yesh Eitz Bebeso Shel Haman. Haman has a gallows in his backyard. He has a piece of wood, a tree, right? A gallows that he constructed. And he constructed it from a beam from his own home. But where did he get that beam from originally? Says the Medrash, an amazing thing. Mibes Kodshei HaKadoshim. He took a beam that was 50 amos long from the Kodesh Kadoshim. As the Pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, as Ulam Ha'amudim Osa Chamishim Ama. Miyad Siva HaMelech L'Tloso Alav. So the actual beam, that actual gallows, that again, Haman and Mordechai, there's this race, who's going to get the other one to the gallows first? The actual gallows that Haman constructed was mamish from the place of the Kodesh Kadashim, from the place where heaven and earth meet. And Haman wants to what? To remove the Kodesh Kadashim once and for all, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But the Vina Hafuchu is, we also don't want a Beis HaMikdash. We want direct connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what Chodesh Adar, the month of fish, the fish that doesn't even have a neck, represents. Right? It's that battle of the pig without a neck versus the fish without the neck. However, this, of course, is the reason we eat fish on Shabbos Kodesh, right? Such a big Indian to eat fish on Shabbos. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's a taste of the world to come where we don't want to be separate from Hashem at all. We want to be completely, completely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any separation whatsoever. This is also the reason, and with this I'll conclude, right? I was thinking this is maybe the reason some say that Chodesh Adar corresponds to Yosef HaTzadik. Just like we have two Adars, right? Adar is the month that sometimes in a leap year is doubled. So Yosef becomes two Shvatim, Ephraim and Manasseh. We know also that the bracha of V'yidgu larov bekerav haaretz, to be like the fish of the sea, right? But Yosef, we know, also corresponds to the neck. The Avos represent the head. The Shvatim represent the body. Yosef HaTzadik, Svasemis says, is sort of the bridge between the Avos and the Shvatim. Yosef corresponds to the neck. So it's another connection that Adar corresponds to the neck. But again, the month of Adar is a celebration of the neck in the sense that we want a Beis HaMikdash. But it's also the removal of the neck in the sense that we want more than a Beis HaMikdash. We want to get back to that type of intimate Hashras HaShechina that we had at the moment of Kabbalah Satorah at Har Sinai. Okay, Chav, I hope you enjoyed. I'll take questions or comments now. Anything that you want to add or ask?